Like, what's up?
Yo, yo, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollenbach. With me, Jeff May.
Hey, woo, it's Jeff May.
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just hanging out in your car.
Next to a dumpster outside the Liquid Zoo, you know.
You have, like, such a rape car. Like, I know people are like, oh, rape vans. Like, yeah, this is a rape car.
No, I really should get almost, like, crime scene tape, like, taped around.
You
as a trim for the car.
You have all of the aspects of, like, a teenager's car.
Right.
With none of the financial freedom of a teenager. Like, you still have terrible bills and things you have to deal
with. Yeah, I got CDs for some reason.
I have CDs in my car as well.
Duct tape, GHB, you know.
Yeah, wow, this is legit. Yeah, I feel like, what year is this? Like a 98?
02.
It's an 02?
You're within 4 years. That's not bad. So you have a, you know, we don't know each other that well. I know you from talking shit outside the Liquid Zoo a little bit. That's how I know you. So, I looked at your Facebook feed, and here's what you recently said. You said, I don't know what getting friend-zoned is this whole time. Here I was just thinking I was making friends like a normal person.
Yes.
That is weird in our society. We're always like, oh, did you get that number off that girl? Value added. I negged her. Then I got the digits. I scammed her into, you know what I mean? What's going on?
Okay, so what that really comes down to is there are a couple of people in my life and essentially like on social media that they always make jokes like I got put in the friend zone.
Right.
And that's very frustrating to me because the same thing has happened to me and I just called it my friend doesn't want to fuck me.
Right.
Like that's like, and people are like, oh, I got friend zoned. It's like, just because you're nice to somebody doesn't mean that they are obligated to fuck you.
And it's like, friend is like the worst thing possible.
And so I was like, I sat there and I'm like, oh, I've never. And that one actually got a lot of people really reacted to that one because I think a lot of girls too are just sick of hearing that phrase.
Right.
Because it's legit only something that assholes say.
Right.
You're like, friend zoned. It's like, no, you're just fat.
Should women spend all their time just like going to town, just like sucking all the dicks they can?
Yeah, that's
just
like,
to,
come
like,
on,
alleviate.
Yeah,
school
oh,
shootings.
That whore won't fuck me. It's like, you know what? Like, and that really was sort of what it comes down to. Is there was, you know, we had that tragedy in Santa Barbara, and like this guy's like, well, who would fuck this creep anyway? Like, maybe if you weren't such a creepy piece of shit, we wouldn't have this problem.
Right. Maybe if you weren't, you're like. You didn't go to, like, I'm going to shoot them.
And
that
I just,
sounds like a control.
There are people I have that literally are like, if the friend zone became a person, it would be this person. They're
right.
Like, I like ballroom dance. And it's like, stop it. Just, you know, like, just develop a personality so girls will fuck you,
I guess.
Would be the thing.
Here's a little more insight. You posted this. Nothing is lower than a joke thief. If you're not good enough to be funny on your own, please just kill yourself or quit comedy.
No, I agree with that 100%. I have seen
a lot of joke thieves
on Facebook. I saw two local comics post the same stolen tweet.
Yeah.
As their own.
Did you source the tweet earlier? Did you go back?
What I did on one of them is I posted a comment and I just wrote because I wanted to address it, but I don't want. You don't want to be a complete asshole and burn any bridges, but you want to let someone know that you know they've taken it.
Right.
So what I did is I posted a comment being like, I keep seeing this all over Facebook. Is there something I'm missing? Like, what is this? And then he deleted that comment and left it up. Mm. And that's when I was like, oh, you motherfucker. Like, I was really, I was angry because there is an art. Like, I have a lot of friends that are graphic artists, like comic book artists, print artists. And there are people that go to conventions that will literally just rip a file offline, print my friend's art, and sell it for their own money.
Right.
And like, so they're stealing art. And I think a joke thief is worse. A joke thief, stealing art is so shitty because art pays so poorly anyway.
Right.
That to steal, it's like stealing from poor people. And I've worked very hard to sort of, you know, craft my own personal experiences. And then I see somebody just stealing other people's jokes and doing them on stage. And it infuriates me.
Yeah.
Like, it's so pathetic.
I also, I remember seeing someone at flappers. I won't mention any names, but they're like, oh, this big name comic, he stole all my shit. All my shit he was stealing from me. And then, you know, that's why I blew up. And then I see a set of flappers and he's absolutely terrible. And it's like, well, maybe you didn't blow up not because he stole something from you. You know, there's all kinds of aspects.
Yeah, there's a lot. And that's not to be said that there aren't upper level comics that steal jokes. And lower level, I think ability really sets itself up where you can figure it out towards the end. Like, for example, if a shitty comic steals a joke and it gets relatively popular, but then they go on stage and then they don't know how to handle themselves, they can't handle a heckler, they can't handle a crowd, they eventually get put back in their place. Like,
right. Like
the universe kind of writes itself. But joke thieves are shit. They're the worst. They're the worst of the worst. Like, I legit can't stand them. And especially when they're doing the same thing that I'm doing, but they're trying to cheat their way through it. And it's like, it's disrespectful to the craft.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's weird with Twitter, too, because it's like there's a timestamp. Everything's auto-archived. You can be like, boom, this tweet happened from this person. Then I see the fucking
connected thoughts. Even do it now. Like, I'll search it, and I'll just be like, oh, you stole this from... And it's like, you stole this from Rob Delaney. Like,
right.
He has a million faults. Like, what's wrong with you?
It's in an album. Yeah. Like, you're going to just assume that people didn't see that.
If you just hit retweet, you're fine. Like,
yeah.
But then people are like, you know, they want people, bad comics still want to seem funny.
Yeah.
And they still want to seem clever.
Yeah.
So they'll take a better person's art, call it their own. And it's just, it infuriates me.
Sometimes, you know, the Liquid Zoo people aren't all just stealing each other's joke, talking shit on each other. Sometimes they massage each other. A massage train broke out in the Liquid Zoo one time.
Yes.
Tell me about that. I saw pictorial evidence of this, but how did it get going?
It's my fault.
Really?
I started it. And what I did is I walked up behind a friend of mine. I believe it was it Whitney? It might have been either Whitney Melton or Quincy or someone, but I'm very handsy, and I'm like, not in a creepy way, but I'll walk up to a friend and just kind of like dig in a little bit.
Massaging Kevin Anderson. I saw it a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
You give him a little squeeze.
It's getting touched feels nice sometimes, and it's like, it's not a creepy way, and I'm not grabbing anyone's dick, but you know, yeah, just do that. And then so eventually it became this train which looks the gayest in the world,
right.
But it was fun. But yeah, so yeah, I did that. There was photographic.
Was that a good
evidence.
Like kumbaya moment? Did everyone?
It was
everyone
good.
Into
the
it?
The only problem I had with it is it distracted from the comedian.
Right.
And I felt like that was a little bit disrespectful, but it was also like the comic, you know, could play with it a little bit.
Right.
But
I don't
like fucking with other comic sets.
Right.
Like,
You want a pristine audience.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, that's what happened.
It's already hard enough. The fucking chaos of Liquid Zoo.
I'm really terrified you're going to rape me in this car.
You know, if a massage chain starts out,
yeah.
You know, that's how it's...
Just start massaging my thighs. Like, okay.
So you're from Boston, you know?
I am.
The East... Yeah, showing the titties. Showing the titties.
Another car pulled up right next to us,
and
it is my lovely friend, comedian Laura Crawford, who is also from Boston.
Yeah?
And she's putting on makeup right now.
Oh, she's getting ready for the
and
zoo.
She can't see that I'm trying to lick my own nipple.
Lick your nipple at her. She's just watching. She's just looking at her makeup, checking her appearance. She's
walking
it's
fine.
Out. She
this is good radio.
She's not watching you.
Anyway.
So how long have you been in LA? What's been your journey?
I moved to LA on Labor Day of 2012. It was the day I was a teacher for 9 years in Charlton, Massachusetts, which is also my hometown. And so I retired, and the day I got my last paycheck, I finished packing all my stuff up and moved out here.
So what are you doing something out here? Do you have a day job?
Yeah.
Are you teaching at school?
I am the epitome of a comedian because I'm an Uber driver.
Oh.
And so I drive whenever I'm not performing, essentially.
Yeah.
It's like I go to the gym and then I drive and then I perform, and then I drive, and then I sleep. It's kind of a pathetic existence.
So your rapey car just has a mustache in front?
No, that's Lyft. Oh, that's Lyft. No, I'm not going to Lyft. I have dignity. Right. No, I left when I got divorced. I bought my ex-wife had bought a relatively new car, and I bought that off of her when I moved out here. So I drive like a decent car.
Right.
And it's actually Uber has helped me be organized in my car and like clean it out, because I used to drive like a very cluttered, shitty car where mm-hmm. I'd be like, yeah, I know I can seat five, but I can only take two people with me because there's too much shit in my car.
Right.
And now I can actually fit five people in my car.
Yeah, it's cleaned up your act.
And it pays really well. Yeah. Actually, yeah. It's I used to work in production. I used to make shitty TV. And it paid very poorly. And
That's what I'm doing.
It was like, yeah. So if you know, anybody that works in production, when you're like, oh, yeah, I work on The Biggest Loser. And people are like, ooh, fancy. And you're like, I work 12 hours a day for about $10 an hour.
Yeah, I know.
And then they're like, never mind.
Yeah. But there's like, it's like with anything. If you're at the top of that fucking pyramid scheme, you're making all the money. If you're at the bottom of it, you're...
Yeah. And it's funny because people, like, they would... And because I'm a comic and a writer, and people would be like... You know, they want to give you opportunities. What do you want to do? Do you want to work in photography? Do you want to work in lighting? Do you want to... And I'm like, I just want to make people laugh. And they're like, okay, go lift that heavy thing. Like, right, it's not right, like... Right, an. Yeah. There's like, we don't have room. You're not going to be a PA for the writer's room.
I know. Happen. Yeah, and it also seems like girls kind of skip a step. Because a girl will be a PA once, and they'll be like, you can't lift anything. You're a coordinator now. But dudes, they're like, no, you're still a PA because you can fucking drive a truck and lift shit around. And so that you, like, get capped at a level.
Yeah.
It takes forever to get in the story department.
Yeah, and that's not something I've really, like, after a while, like, because I worked, the productions that I worked for were always, like, reality or unscripted TV. And so I was like, the best job I could get would be writing color for, you know, comments of a whole, you know. Anthony Bourdain says, oh, you know, this tastes like, you know, the coffee filter at the bottom of a trash can. And it's just like, all right, well,
you could also be a post story coordinator and, like, you know, put propagandize the raw footage into something entertaining.
No, I'd rather kill myself. Like, that's not, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't interest me at all.
So I had Aaron Marsh on the podcast last week.
Aaron Marsh, yeah.
From the Flappers.
Very funny comedian.
He is, and he's always been super nice with me, but I was so reluctant to take him in as a human.
Why?
Because just like his accent, he looks like a bully.
Yeah.
And so I just always felt like somewhere he was judging me on the inside, and it took me...
He just kind of looks like a bro. He kind of has that bro energy.
And it took me like 7-8 months before I was like, you know, he's never been... anything but nice to me. It's just my defenses are up.
Right.
And I feel like my defenses down and it was totally worth it.
You think you were judging him for being a bro and you thought he was going to bully you?
Totally.
Because he looks like someone in high school that would fuck with you?
Yeah. 100%. And I had my defenses up for months.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, wait. I put him up for no reason. He's a good dude.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, and then, that's the first thing. That's the first look.
Do you get that a lot?
Yeah.
People think that you have echoes of some kind of jock that used to fuck with him.
I look like the guy that beat you up in high school. If you're listening to this and you don't know what I look like, picture the dude that beat you up in high school as a 32-year-old man, and that's what I look like. No, I was obese in high school.
Oh, really?
I did play sports. I played football, and I hated it. But you couldn't be. I was 6'2", 265 pounds. And I was socially aware enough to know that if I didn't play football, I would just be called a fat ass.
Right.
Instead of a lineman.
Right.
So I did all the sports.
You wanted to give your size some kind of outlet.
More than that, it was mostly social. Yeah, legitimized socially.
Right.
Like, I wasn't like, I want to be in shape because, like, I really liked ice cream. I still do. Like, I curtail it. And then in college, I started boxing, and I lost 60 pounds in about 3 months
mm-hmm.
and kind of became like, I look like this very sort of new man. But while I'm doing that, I was still playing, you know, Star Wars collectible card game and reading comic books. Like, that's my, like, I look, it's almost it's unnerving because my insides are like, they get bullied by my outsides. Like, I do comic book conventions a lot. And right. So, yeah, like, someone like Aaron would see me, and he's like a big comic book guy and everything like that. I look like somebody who would call him like a fag for wearing a Boba Fett hoodie, and instead I'm just like, oh, that's, you know,
And you, I really you like still, that. Yeah, you still do, but it's because you're yelling. You're calling yourself a fag for liking Boba Fett.
I know more about Star Wars than anybody should.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I know comic books are my big knowledge. Like I know a ton about comics, but and Star Wars is like my other thing that I'm.
And like there's all those like ancillary books where you learn like how the Death Star, like the vendors that put the Death Star together, like their social dramas, like everything.
I never really had a lot of the time to go into like the big expanded universe stuff, but I would always read like Tales from Jabba's Palace, Tales from, and there would be all these backstories of these minor characters that you see in passing. Right. And then I have my backpack is in the bar at the Liquid Zoo. It has a Star Wars book, an anthology in there. Whenever I go for a flight, I read from these books and just read a chapter or something like that.
Just to remember the good old time.
Just yeah, it's just fun. Like, that. That's, it interests me. That's just stuff that I find interesting. Like, I'm not going to ever apologize for, you know, being like, I really like comic books. But it was actually tough. I worked at a comic book store and doing comedy. So those two worlds, like the nerd world and the comedy world, it was very hard for me to sort of get accepted at first because I look antithesis of those two things.
I'm headed back to Boston in 2 weeks because my grandfather died. You didn't let me finish, assholes. Wow, you guys are fucked. No, he did. I actually, he died on Friday. And this is actually the worst part about it, though, is like now that's just another ghost watching me masturbate, which is like really awkward because I know that guy.
So you were in Massachusetts. You were being a teacher, and then you know you thought your whole life is laid out for you. You're married. You got a little place. You're living together, and then the relationship fell apart, and then you were at, wait a minute, what the fuck do I want to do with my life?
I got a job teaching in my hometown on a piece of land that my grandfather used to own, like that local.
Right.
I graduated from college a semester late because I transferred 3 times, and I was just like going to substitute teach and like try to get my name in. That was in December when I graduated. By February, I got called by my hometown being like, we need a social studies teacher. I had just turned 22.
Right.
I was a baby, and I'd already basically signed my future existence into, you're going to die 4 miles from where you lived, you know, or whatever. And then I was like, I was 30. I was not happy in my job, really, because my boss was terrible. I was recently divorced, and I was like, there's nothing keeping me here. And then almost, sort of by divine intervention or something, I got a letter in one of my paychecks saying, we're offering everybody in the district a $5,000 retirement incentive. So we'll give you $5,000 if you want to retire. And I was like, that's enough money to get me across the country.
Yeah.
So I retired and, took off.
Yeah, so they bought off your pension, so you don't have any kind of.
I cashed my pension in, and that's what I lived off of in 2013.
Yeah.
And before I was an Uber driver, I was a retiree.
Yeah.
So
did you go right into stand up as soon as you came?
As soon as I got approved for retirement, I performed for the first time.
Yeah.
Like I think 3 days later, because this is what I wanted to do, but I knew that you know. One YouTube video of me saying retard and I would have lost my whole career. So I knew to protect my financial stakes.
Right.
And then as soon as it wasn't an option, I just was like, fuck it. And then I started performing and I fell in love with it. So I would be going to Boston and doing open mics in like Cambridge and stuff. And these really wonderful guys, Rob Crean and John Paul Rivera, put on this awesome podcast, open mic. In Cambridge, I would go and stay out until about 2 a.m., drive an hour back home, and then wake up at 6 in the morning and start, go to school. And I would do that. I did that for the end of my teaching career. So I was going off of, like, usually 4 hours of sleep every night.
Yeah.
But just loving it. I fell in love with stand-up. I always loved stand-up. And now I finally could do it.
Yeah. Was it a comedy podcast, or was it a friend that said, hey, look, you're funny, why don't you try this? Or, like, was it, was the push?
I always did the funny, you know, I was always funny, and that sounds really self-serving and douchey. People laughed at the things I said. I won, you know, class clown and all that stuff. And so I knew a couple comedians, and I had written some jokes for them, being like, here, you know, if you think this is funny, go ahead. And you know, they thought it was funny. So they, you know how sometimes people are like, I've got something you can use for your act. Well, I had something, and I was just like, yeah, I know that people do that and everything. But, you know, there was that. I've always loved comedy. And so
when you started doing stand-up, are you like, that's my joke, give that fucking back, you can't use that
anymore. No, of course not. But I started going to comedy shows with this this girl who was like really, she would into the Boston comedy scene, and she was this amazing, wonderful girl that, mm-hmm. that invited me to come to the comedy studio in Cambridge, Mass. And I went and saw it, and I saw amazing comics, but I also saw something that I knew I could do. I was like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I know I can do that.
Yeah.
I was already doing it with teaching. I was already, it's like, oh, stand in front of people and I only have to be up there for 10 minutes at a time. Well, I do 4 1-hour shows every day.
Right.
To 30, 13-year-olds. If I can do that, I can, you know. So I guess that's ballsy of me, but it seems to be working out.
Yeah. So you're, I was looking through your bio here. And at the end, it says he's 80% sure he's a Libra. Isn't you're 80% sure that you're a Libra because you're between other birth signs, or?
Well, the 20% is because birth signs are horseshit.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was like, I am a Libra, but also that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's like your horoscope should just say, your parents fucked 9 months before today. Like, that's really what it should say. Like, yeah. If today's your birthday, it means your parents had sex in the winter. Like, that's essentially what it was. Like, yeah. I get it. Like, when my dad came has nothing to do with, like, whether or not I'm fair and balanced. Like, that's horseshit.
Yeah, and it's like, if you look at a bunch of traits that are positive on a sheet, are you going to disagree with them? Like, you're honest, you're fair. It's never like, you're a fucking asshole, you know, like.
You're funny, but sometimes large crowds make you uncomfortable. It's like, that's any fucking human.
Yeah, it's just crafted so that. Yeah. So you're also going around pitching a show where you travel around the world refusing to eat the local cuisine because it looks gross?
Are you going through, is that my Twitter stuff?
I think so, yeah.
You went way back there. Yeah, one of my jokes was, I worked on a food show, and one of the hosts and producers of the show does one of those things where he travels around the country and around the world eating like really exotic foods, and I thought it'd be really funny if I show up, do a show where I'm not gonna eat that, looks gross.
Yeah, like they like
I just
so
eat
an
exotic Burger King's, you know, like that's, I'm just like, I'm not gonna eat, what is that, grasshopper? Oh, fuck you. Like I don't know, that's so my tweets are grounded in the fact that I'm an asshole, I guess.
Yeah, you're a bully. Yeah. You're a bully when you tweet, but you're
I'm a mean bully.
So what do you think about UFO shit? Are you into conspiracies at all?
No.
WikiLeaks is posting about some shit about UFOs.
I don't believe in UFOs.
What are you religious at all? What were you raised?
I was raised Catholic, but I used to teach religion. It was actually like one of the chunks of things I had to teach. I taught the five major religions, and I think the more educated you are, the more you're like, oh, this is horseshit.
Right.
So like, there's a reason that the more religious a state, the lower the literacy. Like it is what it is. So I mean, I was at one point in time when I was like, oh, like God is a thing, and then I'm like, now that's dumb.
Delusion seems to be like the path of least resistance. You can have magical thinking real quick.
I believe in like spiritual health, and I certainly never want to be like, look, don't believe in that. But also like, don't be a fucking retard about it. Like, believe in what you want, but don't impose your beliefs on me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, conspiracy theories, like, I would say maybe 3% of all conspiracy theories are actually correct, you know. But UFO, I don't believe in aliens. I don't believe in that. That technology does sort of violate science, but I could be wrong. It's not that I don't believe in life, right, other places. I just don't think that life has created something that can violate relativity.
You don't think that they've visited, but you think that they could be like on a moon of Jupiter. Seems there's like, yeah, this moon in Jupiter called Europa that they're looking, mm-hmm, at that might have some like ability to sustain, yeah, life.
And when they say life, by the way, they mean like bacterial, right, existence, as opposed to like
a city. I'm
pretty sure there were elephants on there. It's right, like, right, no, right, no. It's like, it could harness kangaroos. No.
That would be pretty cool if there was just like a monkey, like, you know what I mean? Like a prehistoric
a planet
monkey
of the apes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wouldn't that be badass?
They should make make a movie about that, maybe.
That'd be so crazy to just like land and all of a sudden like all these like eyes peek out from the fucking woods. It's never seen anything.
Yeah, well,
crash.
I mean, yeah.
It's going to be fucking crazy, right?
I think, yeah, that would be bananas.
Ah, shit. So actually, just the next week, I'm having a guy on the podcast called Reverend Kevin Annette, and he was a priest with some Canadian church, like the
Unitarian.
Yeah, and, yeah, that one.
He's a Unitarian.
And but now he's like spends all of his time whistleblowing about
kid fucking.
Yeah. So that's what he's doing. He's trying to like arrest the Pope, the current Pope, the former Pope, and the Queen Elizabeth for fucking child trafficking.
He's trying to arrest them?
Yeah.
He's making a citizen's arrest?
That is exactly what he's doing. And he's using the International Common Law Court because the actual norm, like, you know, the Vatican, Italy, is not going to arrest the Pope. Even, and so he's,
yeah,
to
does he know
evidence.
That's not going
to
work?
It's very interesting. I'm going to call him on the phone on Saturday, and he's going to be on the podcast next week, so we'll see how he's going.
I really hope that the current Pope doesn't get arrested, because this is he's the guy that's finally making popes be like, cuz like when we had like John Paul II was like, right, a very progressive pope, but still not super. This new pope shows up and he's brilliant, because all of the problems in the Catholic Church, he's basically being like, fuck you problems. He's firing dudes that are living lavish lifestyles. Alliteration, there you go. Mm-hmm. He's basically fucking over all of the corruption in the church. And if somehow he was removed, and like, by the way, the Catholic Church probably wants him removed. Like, there are probably cardinals and bishops out there that, right, are trying to get him killed.
Right.
And he showed up and he's like, you guys elected me, so clearly I'm the closest person to God, so fuck you.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
I heard
it.
Like, he also gave a lot of gold to poor people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he's doing good things. You don't really know. It's kind of hard.
You kind of do.
But also, you know, when someone goes in new, you know, they could have a good PR team. You know, I've never met the Pope. I don't know. Hey, what's up? I've never met a, you know, I don't know what the hell he's doing there, but I don't know.
He seems to be legit. Reza Asghari is harassed. We're recording a podcast, Reza.
Yeah.
Talk more. Interrupt the podcast.
He's
more.
Always trying
stuff.
To get you to smoke weed.
Everybody tries to get me to smoke weed.
Yeah, it's California.
Reza's right. Gonna go smoke weed, and I will not. I am that's the other thing. Yeah, we
you're
talked
so,
earlier.
Yeah.
I'm 32 years sober and drug free, which violates everything that I look like.
Right. You
I look like an
a
alcoholic,
bro,
yeah.
Frat boy. So I don't know if you know about this thing. Do you know what HARP is? The Auroral Research Project in Alaska. It's this is all these antennas like that is powered by 1,000,000 volts in the middle of Alaska, pointed at the ionosphere, and they're into like weather manipulation, but it's getting shut down, I think, just because of the fucking deficit.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I think about HARP. So here's a little clip of a congressional meeting about HARP and what's going on.
A lot of folks
there. Here
on the committee probably don't understand what HARP does. I think most Alaskans don't really know what HARP does or why the agency is involved in it. So a very brief explanation.
The Air Force has gotten great value out of HARP in the past. We took it over from the Navy and managed it, and actually did a number of experiment campaigns up there, and have finished our work that we're interested in doing up there. We've moving on to other ways of managing the ionosphere, which the HARP was really designed to do, was to inject energy into the ionosphere to be able to actually control it. But that work has been completed.
Superheating portions of the upper atmosphere, HARP can affect global weather patterns, a concept Tesla was ridiculed for nearly a century earlier.
The intense energy being beamed into the sky by HARP is actually heating up the atmosphere, causing weather changes.
HARP is being used for weather modification. The military's own record proves it. They've admitted it within their own documents, and yet they still deny it to the public.
Dr. Brooks Agnew has researched ELF wave technology for the past 30 years and is convinced HARP's effect on the ionosphere does alter the weather.
HARP couldn't affect the jet stream directly, but indirectly it could, because if you push the ionosphere out into space, then the stratosphere just under the ionosphere has to move to fill in that gap. When it moves, it could pull the jet stream with it, thus rerouting it hundreds of miles, changing the way water moves through our atmosphere.
You know, a lot of conspiracy people think that, you know, Katrina was caused by HARP, that like these people at the top, these financial elites, you know, can pull the levers, can make chaos happen wherever they want.
That's really dumb. That's really stupid.
It's intended purpose.
The wealthy can just financially terrorize. They don't need to drown poor black people, because poor black people make the wealthy wealthier.
Right.
Like, poor black people are wasting their money on things, or poor people in general. Like, rich people aren't buying lottery tickets, and lottery money goes back into the government. So, like, why would they kill off ways that avoid, like...
A bunch of lottery ticket buyers.
If lottery tickets stopped existing, and that money didn't go in, tax laws would have to be changed, and the wealthy would be taxed more. So why would they do that? It's not in their best interest to, like, pull levers and have, like, you know, a NOAA-level flood happen. We're just burning styrofoam too much in the 60s and 70s, and now we're starting to get some shit happening. Like, I don't think that's necessarily malice. I think it's just, we were lazy and ignorant.
It's always, like, how they, like, you know, bury nuclear waste. They'll just, like, yeah, just put dirt over it, I guess. Like, everything is, like, just so half-assed.
Yeah, like, what are they going to do?
Like, I don't know.
And then you get Godzilla.
So, speaking of middle school, speaking as being a teacher, I was at a school production today. I was at a middle school, like, dance recital, you know, showing some support. My roommate, teaches dance at a school and stuff like that, so I wanted to support and shit like this. But I remember my first dance recital that I went to when I was in middle school, that was, like, the first time I was, like, I like girls. You know, like, I was 11. All the 14-year-old girls got up.
So you chose to be straight when you were 11.
That's when I was, like, whoa, something is happening to my wiener right now.
Wow.
Because, and it was to the point where
I was girls,
like,
your own age?
No, they were like 4 years older or something like that. Some of them were starting to blossom into womanhood. But this thing I was at took me back there. But I remember also during this middle school thing, like, I saw a titty popped out. Like, all these girls were in wedding dresses, you know? Because that's what makes girls hot, is, like, being in wedding dresses and, like, dancing around to a synchronized thing.
Yeah, it's only after that they stop being hot.
They peak then.
They peak.
But, yeah, and, some girl was, like, crawling up to be at the top of this, like, cheer pyramid, and her knee caught right on the bottom of her dress.
Titty popped out.
And, you know, the NSA can watch my browser history of what I'm looking at now, but I still got that.
Yeah, you have
I
that.
Still watch,
you have
I still
a,
have
You
seen
have
that.
Child porn in your brain.
Yeah. They can't get it.
No, they can't.
That's mine. I saw
Wait
that
Wait till
shit.
The NSA starts arresting you for that. And you're just like, you can't take away that titty. And it's like, that's an underage titty. And then you're like, fuck you, man.
We're going to erase it with your fucking...
Yeah. Thanks, Obama. Yeah, like...
erasing the titty.
So you were 11 when you had your first, like, sexually induced boner?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure I had, you know, boners before that. Yeah, boners when you're a baby.
My first sexually related boner that I can remember is from an episode of Square One TV. You remember Square One TV?
No idea
what it was on PBS. Mm-hmm. It was a math show. It was like a math sort of anthology. It was almost like a Saturday Night Live style, like skits and all these things. And I just remember there was like this hot girl on it being like a spy. And she was like, I don't know why it turned, like I was like six.
Right.
And I was like.
You were just like, pretty girl. I was like,
I don't want to fuck this girl. Without really knowing what it was, but like kind of knowing what it was. And I was not molested. And yet I still was, I had sexual thoughts at that age. Maybe I was molested.
Do you wish that you were in retrospect? Do you think it would give you something to fight against or something?
I'm fighting against change, I guess. I'm like, I'm a big white guy. I don't want, you know, equal rights. I'm like, well, let's just pump the brakes on the equal rights here. I've been pulled over twice in L.A., and the first time was for driving an unregistered, uninsured car, and they let me drive it home. That's some white people shit.
White people shit.
So I recognize. Yeah, and then the second
stomped you if you're a black guy.
Yeah, the second time a lady cop flirted with me for about 8 to 10 minutes before letting me go.
Hey,
like that's. Hi, I'm a white guy. Like that's essentially what it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm fighting against. The ability to. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to. I would have been arrested and my car impounded, for real. But I was like a nice white guy.
Hey, anybody ever make the mistake of Googling themselves and realizing that you're the worst version of you that exists? Anybody else done that? I have it so fucking bad. I'm not kidding here. The number one Jeff May on Google is a hero that prevented a school shooting. Try explaining that on a date that you're not that guy. Like, oh my god, because also, by the way, a little backstory, I used to be a teacher.
Yeah.
So when that combined, yeah, I quit. He's like, that fucker couldn't hack it, yeah. I quit too. I'm going to date, like, oh my god, you're a teacher? Well, to be all honest, I was Googling you, and I saw that a guy I knew, Jeff May, prevented a school shooting. Is that you? And then I have to be like, no. I quit teaching so I could tell jokes about school shootings. So that's where I am. By the way, can I say I didn't even make third place? There's a professional hockey player and a high-powered lawyer that also share my name. So I didn't even meddle in Jeff May. Like, I'm not even the third best me. So I'm shooting for the stars, really.
Childhood, like first sexual things. You ever like get a boner in class, and you know you were wearing jeans and like a belt or something, and you had to like fold it up,
yeah,
and then tighten your belt, and then kind of press it up.
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay, you're 28. I'm 32, so you were kind of at the tail end of it, but loose clothing. Was baggy clothes were very popular.
Right.
It was a lot easier with like a big loose t-shirt those to Janko hide the boner. Jeans.
Right.
Yeah, so I would fold it up and then it just like I would just stay down and not, you know.
Yeah. Should
have just went to the bathroom and jerked off, but.
Right. You can't always get away with that between periods. It depends.
Yeah, it's tough. You have to get it down to a science.
Plus, I was always so sleepy. You know, like I had to go to high school at like fucking. I had to wake up at like 6:15 or whatever. I was always like, if I whacked off, I would have fell asleep and fucking.
Yeah, I would have been fine with it.
Just a little. Yeah, you would have kept going.
Yeah.
Did you beat off a lot between periods? Did
no.
you have a lot of?
No, I never masturbated in school. Constantly at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I started at like 11.
Yeah.
That was early.
Yeah.
You're like, I can remember getting my first boner. I'm like, I was already working that boner.
Well, do you remember? Well, I'm not sure if that was my first boner, but that was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
it was like a parade.
That was your first significant boner.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's just like, oh, like, you know, all the hottest girls. And you always know the one girl that's like going to be a stripper later because she's doing like way more booty action than
she's
the other
into
girls.
It, yeah.
She has like almost like her she's ass has like a higher level tempo than the rest
15,
of them.
She's 15, but her boyfriend is 20.
Yeah.
Like, it's that girl. Yeah, we know that girl.
Yeah.
That girl's mom does not hang out at home very often. That girl's mom is going out to find a new dad.
But also, this dance recital I went to today, like, there were some girls that were like, they were like fucking like, and also, they brought out like cards, they were thanking sponsors, like, oh, thank you, sponsor. Why is it they have corporate sponsors to like have art programs in schools, because which is already fucking
because
weird.
Money is running out for schools.
Yeah,
and the money is more. It's better spent on academic things like math. Math is very important. And I know, like, I obviously agree that art is important. Art is a very important part. But, like, also math is kind of a big deal.
Right.
So they do have to get sponsorships. It's a fucking tragedy, but it's, you know.
But literally, like, these girls in, like, hot pants, and they're, like, 14 years old, and they're, like, winking and blowing kisses for, like, this,
yeah, because
like, overlord.
This overlord?
Yeah.
Who's the overlord?
I don't know. Cargill or whoever the fuck is sponsoring this.
It's not an overlord. It's just somebody that donated money to make these kids be able to... That's the most cynical way. You're like, these fucking overlords that are giving money to middle school dance troops. It's like, they wouldn't have a troop if they didn't have somebody there to give them money. So these people, like, that's really nice of them. Like, that's not like, you know, let's do it. Like, they write it off, and, you know.
Of course.
But it's kind of a big deal. Like,
It is nice for them, but also it's like, why can't the public schools, like, why are they always, like, having budget issues? It's like,
because the money's not there. The economy's in the toilet.
Well, I think the top 0.001% is like vacuuming up with several.
Well, yeah, but the economy. Yeah, well, that happened. But now, who's going to pay for the schools? These are town schools. They get town money, state money, and federal money. And at that point in time, like, the federal money is really contingent on standardized test scores, and the states are trying to handle their own thing, and they dole out money, but it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, if you have people that are unemployed, they can't pay taxes that are going to go to that. So you need to look to the community to do that. And that's kind of the thing. Like, I worked in clubs where I would get paid, and I'd put my stipend back into the club, because ultimately, you know, kids need this shit, and if there's no money for it, then what are they going to do? They're going to go home, and they're going to fuck. So it's better to have an after-school program where they can actually, you know, it's like, yeah, they might be slutting it around dancing, but at least they're not going and going home when their parents aren't home and fucking around.
No, that's true. No, I don't know. It's just like, I just wish that the money was already there. I just wish that our society's priorities were in order. And I think, you know,
I agree, but you can't blame the sponsors. The sponsors are actually the good guys.
It just makes me uncomfortable when I see a 14-year-old girl holding some company's name and just, like, winking and, like, you know, doing the whole stripper thing.
Yeah.
Like, going, oh, I want this money from this car.
And the thing...
It's weird.
The thing that is interesting, the machine that you're raging against right now isn't necessarily the sexualization, but it's the sexualization coupled with the fact that a corporate sponsorship existed. I think you're raging against the wrong machine.
Well, yeah. What machine should I rage against?
I would say the people that won't, the reason that the funds aren't existing in the first place. It's not, you know, like...
No, yeah, I know.
Like, I know, like, corporate America sucks, but usually, by the way, these sponsors are local sponsors. It's not Jack in the Box that's sponsoring these things. It's like the blank house of pizza.
Right.
That, you know, some Greek guy came over here in 1960 and opened a pizza parlor, and now he's just like, you know, this is what I do to survive, you know, and that's a little bit different. And they, I know that there was a business in town that used to sponsor, like, every team. The guy would just pour money into the community.
Right.
And what happened is the community became fiercely loyal to him. Because he was a nice guy.
Right.
Like, everybody was on a team sponsored by Ted's.
Right.
You know? And then people would go to Ted's because they remember how nice this guy was to us. You know, like, that's kind of how that works.
And all the kids have, like, their pizza party at Ted's and all that
stuff. Yeah, yeah. There's always something where... Yeah. And you know, that's just... That's the good part of the free economy.
Right.
That's the part that's actually a nice part of it. Where it's like... Ted's put this guy out of business or something. It's like, no, that's not the part. It's the part where it's like, hey, you know what? We got to play baseball because this nice guy took money out of his own business and gave it to us so we could have uniforms. And no, that's nice.
I know. It's also, you know, just the rich have, like, all these, like, inheritance tax loopholes so they can set up their progeny with a lifestyle of not having to do anything, which, you know what I mean? Just, and then that money is being sucked away from school.
Yeah, but that's not that's not necessarily the main reason these school pro. If you want to look at something, it's churches not being taxed. That's the big. If churches were taxed, then we would have 80% less problems. But they're not.
Do you think that's the business? That's the untapped business? I say we.
Yeah, Scientology. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think Scientology is going to be gone in the next 4 years.
I don't think so because I think it's a great scam.
I think too many new people, let's say they have no, like, new business coming in because any new business, like, you know, before you go to a restaurant, you'd have a Yelp review. Before you, go to become a new Scientologist, you would, you know, Google it.
There's this really good article on Cracked.com. Cracked, I'm not sure of it. Mm-hmm. But written by Robert Evans, who's a great, great writer. And he does all these personal pieces where he interviews people that are in very, very interesting situations. And he did this one interview, and it says, like, things about Scientology from the outside, from somebody who was in and got out. Mm-hmm. And if you have to read it to really understand just how fucked this whole system is.
Yeah.
While being, it's very interesting, and his writing is beautiful.
Going clear, that book fucking... Yeah.
Oh, I don't read books. Am I a queer? I read books? Come on.
No, but that Going Clear talks about, like, before Scientology, how L. Ron Hubbard, like in college, like, chartered this fucking boat and was lying to the people who were on it. And, like, he didn't really know how to get provisions, so they were starving while they were on this chartered course.
That
and
sounds
he was
about right.
Just, like, lying to them the whole time and trying to get money off them so that they wouldn't all starve to death. And
yeah,
like,
why not?
He just started out like a sociopathic, like, captain.
Yeah.
That's a problem also when you're on the sea. It's like there's only one captain who's judge, jury, and executioner.
Well, you know? I mean, maybe more in the 1800s that would have been.
Well,
sea
law.
Like,
well, you know, even when he was kicking around in 1960, what the fuck are you going to do if L. Ron Hubbard's running the ship?
And beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, but they were mind controlled by his charisma.
And that's the thing right there. Yeah. Well, that's fun. Boy, we got. We raged against some machines in here. It's good stuff.
And let me tell you also, if you're 14 and you see a 14-year-old titty pop out, you got that. That's yours.
Remember that. That's your memory for the rest
That's
of your
the
life.
Banks.
You can jerk off to that legally until you die. And then nobody can. It's your own private child porn stash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legal.
I remember the one of the scariest things that ever happened to me when I had just started teaching. I was 22 years old. And they, you know, the school would lend itself to, like, Girl Scout troops are going to be in this room, you know, from 3 to 5 or whatever.
Right.
And I was this is before I was coaching soccer. I had left the school and I came back to get, like, something out of my room or something, my classroom. And I came out of my classroom. And there was one of these, like, a little girl, like a Girl Scout, but, like, 11. Mm-hmm. Changing topless. Mm-hmm. And I walked out and just fucking saw this half-naked child in a school alone in the in the corridor with me. And I just didn't know what to do, so I just stared forward and just kept going.
Just pretended
just,
that you didn't
just
see.
Just sprint walked like I never saw anything, and then I reported it the next day, you know, and said, I saw a little titty. Like, it fucked with me. I was just, because that, I still have that image in my head, and it's fucked up. Like,
right.
Ugh.
Yeah,
some things, like, they stick in your head, and you're like, I'm not going to be able to jerk off tonight. That image is in my head.
Yeah. Might help some people. You don't have any spank bang? Like, what was your first sexual experience, you know? Like, how young were you?
Oh, it was so gay. Not gay, but gay. It was one of those, like, when you're trying so hard to be romantic that it ends up, you're like, oh, what a fucking loser. It was, like, my 6 month. I had already graduated high school, and it was my 6 month anniversary, and I took my girlfriend out, and we went on, like, a picnic. And we did, and then we went back. We
were both, like, 18.
We, like, made love. And I was like, oh, this is so dumb.
It was so there are experiences that I occasionally think about where I'm just like, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But usually I get creative in my head. Like, I don't want to.
Do you ever, like, take real experiences and then throw other stuff in?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, what if these two people
I'm like, what
in?
If her sister was there,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, 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 right? Anyway, I got some plugs coming up. Do you have any plugs, stand-up plugs coming up?
I will be in at the end of June, late June, I will be in Albuquerque, New Mexico for the Albuquerque Comic Expo, and I'm sure I'll be performing out there. I think I'm July 16th or 19th, I'll be on. I'll be in Flabbers. I'm doing a bunch of stuff that probably, this week, so I don't think it's probably going to go up.
This will go up 6/10.
Yeah, so no, it doesn't matter. I haven't really, I don't really have anything booked up there. But I'm on the internet, Twitter at Hey There Jeffro. I'm on Facebook. You know, fine, it's Jeff May. It's not a hard, you know. I'm there.
You're there.
I'm out there.
I'll be at.
Wait, can I read these?
Sure.
Can I read these?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You are going to be at Flappers on June 17th, which is a Tuesday at 9:30 p.m.
That's where they put the heavy hitters.
That is a
Tuesday 9:30 show.
Is it in the Yoo-Hoo room or is it? Oh, it's the Yoo-Hoo room.
Yeah.
Better get your tickets. There's only room for 5 people in that room.
Killer.
You are going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena on Sunday, August 13th, 2014.
It's July 13th.
July 13th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I should never have read these. at 7:30 p.m. You wrote
stage
down
two.
Stage two. You
Here Comes Godot is my web series. Go to herecomesgodot.com. Check it out. I play a character called Richard Wilson. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen Here Comes Godot yet, what the fuck are you doing?
Godot, G-O-D-O-T, if you don't know how to spell.
And click through the Highway Diary RSS feed with the Amazon link. It kicks a little money back to the I mean, Amazon's getting less most of the money, let's face it, but they fart out a couple of pennies to the show to help keep
you push
alive. It online, you know?
Yeah, I'll be on the Unpopular Opinion podcast, which is Adam Todd Brown from Cracked. You can find it on there. It's a good podcast, too.
A good source of information.
When you're done listening to this, you might want to listen to that.
Check it out.
All right.
So, anything else you want to tell the people, Jeff May?
Mom, I'm so sorry for everything I've done.
All right. That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Jeff May.
What?
Later, people.
Latest.